Hello, this is Pastor Rock Dillaman with another weekly installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. Well, we're on a roll here recently because once again, this week, our readings that come entirely from the Old Testament book of Proverbs make no mention directly of the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to remind you that's not surprising because the Holy Spirit as an abiding presence is one of the blessings of the new covenant in the aftermath of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. So even though the Spirit was active in the Old Testament, he came upon people, as we've said many times before, for a specific moment or season of their life, they did not enjoy his abiding presence. That being said, I want to make this observation from our readings in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs, as you know from Pastor Soper's notes, are wisdom sayings. And in this week's readings, there was emphasis upon the home, marriage, the relationship of husband and wife. There was emphasis upon wisdom, emphasis upon contrasting the ways of the righteous and the wicked, and emphasis upon sexual purity, lust, fornication, and adultery. And I simply want to remind you that key to all of those things is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We live in a very eroticized example to begin, or eroticized culture, to pick one example. And in this highly eroticized culture, where we are continually bombarded with sexual imagery, soft porn, and where hard porn is readily available after a few keystrokes on the computer, we desperately need the ministry of the Holy Spirit if we're going to walk in sexual purity and resist sexual temptation. Specifically, we need the Holy Spirit as our monitoring system. I know that you can purchase or download monitoring systems for your computer, especially for your children, but we have something even better than that. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit who will speak to us immediately if we find ourselves confronted with an inappropriate image, one that would encourage unrighteous thinking. The Holy Spirit will immediately sound an alarm in our souls. And so let me suggest, if you're struggling in that arena, just ask the Holy Spirit to make you sensitive to his alarms and listen for his voice. The same kind of thing could be said about parenting and knowing how to deal with our children that we're raising. Nobody knows more about parenting than the Holy Spirit. He has been observing both good parenting and bad parenting for thousands and thousands of years. But even without those observations, he knows the right path for a parent to pursue. So once again, if you're parenting, specifically ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, to give you discernment, to give you patience, to give you understanding, to give you the words you ought to say, to direct you when you need to be silent, so that you can effectively raise up your child in the direction they should go. So in all of these things that don't mention the Spirit directly in the book of Proverbs, we need the Holy Spirit if we're going to take these counsels and translate them into our life. Now with that, let me demonstrate how the Holy Spirit is essential by looking at a well-known portion of Proverbs 6. It begins with the 16th verse, and it says, "There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Now, if we're going to avoid that unrighteous seven things that God not only hates, but that he considers to be an abomination, we need to pursue the voice of the Spirit, cultivate our relationship with the Spirit, continually work at being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is essential to avoiding all seven of these sins. For example, haughty eyes. That's talking about an inflated ego. That's talking about pride and arrogance. Well, how does the Holy Spirit help us there? The New Testament says it is through the Holy Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the old nature, the deeds of the flesh. And part of the old nature is arrogance and pride. The Holy Spirit, when you're tempted to be arrogant, will shout into your spirit, if you're listening, and remind you that you are the beneficiary of an undeserved grace, that left to yourself, your life would be a mess, that you would pursue evil continually, and because of that, you have no reason to be arrogant, no reason to be proud. If you boast, you boast in the grace of God. One of the sure signs of walking in the Spirit is humility. The second thing God hates, a lying tongue. Once again, if you're contemplating a lie, whether it's a half-truth, which is a whole lie, an exaggeration, which sadly is too often an acceptable lie, or just a blatant, outright misrepresentation, the Holy Spirit will prick your conscience, and even as you're forming the words, remind you, this isn't truth, and God's people should speak truth. Our yes should be yes, our no should be no. In the same fashion, the other remaining five sins require the Holy Spirit. Consider, for example, a heart that devises wicked plans. Wicked plans require repeated focus, periods of concentration. If you embark upon that journey, the Holy Spirit will be there to dog your steps all along the way. He'll continually interrupt your thinking with Scripture, with reminders that what you're planning is not appropriate for a child of God. But the one I want to focus in most of all among these ungodly seven is the last one. God hates the one who spreads strife among brothers. Now, let me remind you, it's the sin of spreading strife or division that God hates, not the person who's doing it. But he hates it when somebody spreads division among those who are united in Christ. And I want to emphasize that one because in 40 years of ministry, I have repeatedly encountered people who sow division and sow strife, usually as an expression of their own arrogance and their insistence upon having their own way, and they almost always put a veneer of respectability over their sinful activity by saying, "Well, I just felt led by the Spirit." I can't tell you how many times I have watched people walk away from a congregation because the truth being declared was getting too uncomfortable for them. And almost every time they'll say, well, I was just feeling led of the Spirit to go somewhere else. And they know that in a very real sense, that's a tough statement to challenge. Because how can we say that wasn't the Holy Spirit unless the person is committing an obvious sin? If somebody's saying the Holy Spirit is leading them to sin, well, then we have a basis for saying, brother, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead anybody to sin. But in something like going to another congregation, starting another congregation, pulling believers away from a congregation, sowing discord within a congregation, well, it's safer there to say, well, I was just following the lead of the Spirit, because who among us can say, well, that's not spiritual activity? But I'll tell you, when it comes to sowing division, that is never the work of the Holy Spirit. Might the Holy Spirit lead you to leave your current church family and go elsewhere? Yes, though not nearly as often as people suggest. But the Holy Spirit will never, never, never lead you to sow discord, to consciously go about within the body of Christ, seeking to divide people along the lines of some theological controversy or your own personal tastes and preferences. The Holy Spirit will not do that because God hates that. So the most important lesson I want you to take with you this week is this one. When you hear somebody dividing the body of Christ, suggesting that they're simply following the leading of the Holy Spirit, challenge them. Remind them that one of the seven things that God hates, that he finds an abomination, is the sowing of discord and strife and disagreement among his children. He doesn't like it when his children fight and go their separate ways. And anybody contributing to infighting and division and separation is not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. They are following the leading of an unholy spirit and attributing it to a holy God who hates division and finds it an abomination. And again, I'm emphasizing this because in 40 years of pastoring, I've seen a lot of damage done in congregations. Thankfully, rarely in those I've pastored, but I've seen a lot of damage done in other congregations by people who wrap themselves in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's calling evil good, and God hates it. Don't participate in it, and if you hear somebody participating in it, shut your ear, tell them why you're closing your ears, and challenge them to read the Word of God and remind them they're not doing the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things that the Holy Spirit wants nothing to do with. So keep that in mind. You're going to need it eventually. God bless you. Have a great week following the Lord.